Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Should I start things off?
Yes, please.
I'm going to say something controversial. Okay. Now, when I say this, just for the record, I have never seen this film. I've never seen it before in my entire life. And to this day, I refuse to watch it and I doubt I'll ever see it. But I'm going to thank this film because if it wasn't for this film, we would not get any more Dragon Ball content. If it wasn't for this film, there would not have been Dragon Ball Super, Dragon Ball superhero movie, the Broly movie that came out. There would be none of that if it wasn't for this film. Can you guess what film it was?
What film was it?
Dragon Ball Evolution.
Oh,
that bomb did big time, didn't it?
Exactly. Because it bombed so badly, it actually brought Akira Toriyama out of retirement to bring back, to provide more and better content compared to that bloody piece of shit film. So, thank you, Dragon Ball Evolution.
Well, actually, I need to thank you at the exact same time, because if it wasn't for yous, I would never watch the Dragon Ball Z. I didn't know anything about it until I heard both of you talking about it.
Wow.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh. On that, with a heavy heart, welcome to, and that's why I messed up, the podcast talking about geekery, nerdism, and all else in between from a South London postcode. I am your host, Shannon. Next to me is the instant classic.
What's up, bro? Give me your energy.
For real? And on the other side of me is Big Man Booger Red. What's up, bro?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Hello, everyone. Hope everyone is well.
Thank you. And, of course, you're making reference to the passing of Akira Toriyama. May he rest in power. I think we're going to talk about that a little bit later, right?
Yes, we are.
However, let's go to some current events, which is the Crow trailer dropped this week.
Yes, it did.
I'll put the link in the notes of the episode. What do we think about
that? You're laughing already before we talk about
it. Let's talk about it. Come on.
Okay, all right.
So, bruv, go.
You want to start this one?
All right, so speaking as someone who...
I could hear bruv rub his eyes. I just heard it.
I heard it.
I was right?
Yeah, you were right. Like, what the fuck? You got a camera on me? What the fuck?
I don't know why he's rubbed his eyes.
I'm gonna put it towards my good mic. My mic's really good. Okay. all right. As someone who is one, a family of the Lee family, a fan of the Lee family. So Bruce Lee, Brandon Lee, love their old school films. And I have actually never seen the original Crow. Like, to be fair, the main reason why I've never watched it, because I was concerned, even though technically it's been proven that there isn't a scene where you actually seeing it killed, I was worried that I might see that scene and that he gets killed, which obviously is not going to happen, but it just didn't sit right with me watching it, so I've never watched it.
And to be fair, that was spread at the time.
Yeah.
So that was spread as like actual facts when it wasn't. And obviously at the time, he didn't have the internet to disprove that.
Yeah.
But that was a genuine, legit concern. Yeah, you had to be there.
Yeah, so to be fair, I would just, it just never really, really, just, I just never, that thought just put me off watching it. And I didn't, since then, I've never really felt like going back to it. I mean, I think I might at some point try and watch it, but it's not like a major thing I should do. I mean, I want to pay respect to Brandon Lee, to be fair, but the trailer. Now, I'm a fan of the Skarsgårds. I love them. I love all four.
Who
of
doesn't?
Them. They're a great bunch of men. You know, fathers, brothers, all of them. I love them all. They're great, all talented. However, now I'm not saying the film looks bad, but I'm also not saying it looks good. That sounds a lot harsher than I thought when it to
does.
Be.
Yeah,
that does.
I'm not saying it doesn't not look good. I mean, it looks like a film.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's gonna have some nice set pieces, some good action, but
let me put this in, correct me already. With
I'm not done yet, but
he's not done.
But
let him cook. Go for it.
I had flashes of misery and failure.
Wow.
Whoa. Like, yeah, but man, you take this, I'm done.
No, that hit. Like, I had flashes of misery and failure. It's the classic.
Those are strong words. I think if that film was anything but The Crow, you would have turned and probably said, yeah, fair enough. And as everything to me, what you just said, we all love the Skarsgård family, brilliant actors, fathers, sons, brothers, etc. And I'm not saying he's wrong to play the character of The Crow. I mean, the work that Brandon Lee did will always remain legendary for everyone who's a fan of the franchise. I saw the trailer and I thought, you actually look more of the Joker in the Suicide Squad than...
I really blame Chad, though.
Mm-hmm. Right. I can't blame Chad for this one. I might blame him for Tron, but I'm not going to blame him for this one.
I quite like Tron.
I love Tron. But when I heard he's in the new Tron, I'm like, oh my
God. Oh, is he? Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't say that. You guys know why. My safety is compromised if I talk about that too much.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's unfortunately Mr. Leto doesn't pick the bill. But yeah, Rain was talking about him. He ain't back. Him, The Crow, it doesn't look bad. But it's just, as you said, sis, when you mentioned it briefly, it has John Wick style homage in a way. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's clearly the violence factor has been turned up, and it's, yes, the soundtrack does seem to be very rocking, etc. But to be fair, when I think The Crow, I mean, I saw images of when Jason Momoa tried out for a role, and to be fair, he looked more of a Crow character than Mr. Stemsgard. But this, I'm not saying anything because I've been wrong 1,000 times. I mean, I remember me laughing when I heard Heath Ledger got the Joker. I'm like, really, Mr. Tempest, I hate about you, and he proved me so wrong. But I'm not saying it's going to be like a masterstroke, but yeah, we'll just see what it says.
Like, when it comes to Bill Skarsgård, I think the film I'm looking forward to most is Boy Kills World. That's the film I'm looking forward
to. Yes, I agree.
Has the date been given for that yet?
I think it's already out in America, but I don't know when we're going to get it, to be 100% honest with you. But,
I look forward to that, and I'll leave a link of that as well, defo.
Because Bill Skarsgård with the voice of Archer, I'm sorry, I'm
here for it.
Give me that, give me all of that. But it's due out April the 26th, I think.
Okay.
I think according to this, but yeah, that, like, again, I'm open to be wrong. I'm more than happy to say, all right, fair enough, it was actually better than I thought it was. My bad, you know. But okay. I was not feeling that.
I'm gonna say, okay, coming close, not that close. Sit down, not on that chair.
It's my chair. What the fuck?
Sorry. Okay, the other chair. Thank you.
Get a drink.
Right. No drink, not necessary. Not for this one. Right. Okay. Controversial. I'm saying it with my whole chest. Right.
Hey.
The Crow is overrated. Said it. I back it. I'm saying it. Saying it again. It's recorded, and I'm saying it. The original 1994 The Crow is overrated. Mm-hmm. Here is why. Don't get me wrong. There were some very good performances in The Crow, right? And what's his name? Michael Wincott, who was top dollar. Tony Todd's in it. Ernie Hudson's in it. Like, it's a pretty good Tuesday night Sky Movies action film.
God, Tuesday night action.
It's Tuesday night. So, okay, I know. You know what? I'm going to explain myself for those who are maybe new. For those who don't know, there was a time when, like, on Sky Movies, they support, like, have, like, themed, movies. So Tuesday night action, Thursday night was something else. They just had, like, themed and usually had the premieres on the Saturday.
Yeah.
So you just had, Tuesday night action. They had something.
Thursday was horror, wasn't it?
I think it was Thursday night was horror. Thursday night was horror. Yeah. Tuesday night was action. Saturdays was the premieres.
Yeah.
So you just get loads of just action of anything that they could find that chuck on at Tuesday night 10 o'clock. I honestly think the most appealing thing about The Crow is the death of Brandon Lee. It elevated something that was mediocre at best into something that was a bit more because of the death of Brandon Lee, because of what happened, how it happened, the fact that they hadn't finished filming, so they had to do a load of like stuff in the 90s to kind of put his face in. And I kind of don't even want to watch it now because I feel like, you know, certain films shouldn't be watching HD.
Yeah, because you notice.
I feel like this might be one of the ones because of the job they had to do to kind of recreate his presence at certain points. So they literally had to paste his face and put half of it in darkness so that he would be there when actually he'd already died. And I think that and the fact of Bruce Lee and his dad and the whole thing of the dying and the whole thing around it gave it more than it was. I have one good scene in my head, which is the bit where like he's obviously on the rampage and he says about, he tries to stop this woman from taking drugs, and he says, "Mother is the name of God on the lips of children," and that's always stuck with me because I think it's a killer line.
That's a scene where he basically holds her arm, and basically the heroin seeps out of her arm.
Yeah,
I do remember that. I do remember that. If I ever came on TV, that's the scene I always seem to catch for some reason.
But it was shot really weird. It had this a lot of like this red flashing, like thing of it. It was trying to be Sin City before there was Sin City. Do you get what I mean?
Yes.
It was trying to be Sin City before it really was, but also using like the kind of red and black, and it just to me didn't land. So I'm gonna be really and the thing is nostalgia sells. That's the thing they're kind of going for is everyone's such about The Crow, let's do The Crow. I'm just like, I said it to you, the first thing I said to you was, is this The Crow Wick? Because that's what it feels like. It felt like the set pieces that I saw in the trailer could have been lifted. If you told me that was like an off scene in John Wick 1-4, I would have completely believed you. I'd be like, a sidekick turned up and this is the sidekick to John Wick. It's the embodiment of the dog who is the crow somehow. I don't know. And it's what we're doing. That's honestly how I feel about it. I could be wrong. It's my opinion. But I do feel that the legacy of Brandon Lee is heavy on The Crow 1994. And without that, we're just going to see another movie. And don't get me wrong. It's no reflection on Skarsgård or FK Twigs or anybody else. But yeah, that's my opinion.
Wow.
Speaking of opinions, mm-hmm. Big Man and I have now seen Dune Part 1 and Dune Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
Bruv hasn't seen it yet.
Nope.
But Bruv is very familiar with the original Dune, the original David Lynch Dune with Kyle MacLachlan and Sting, which sounds like a fever dream, but it's not. Look it up.
Sting was an actor once upon a time.
Sting was good in that. Okay, so I saw it in IMAX in Science Museum, big up every time. I've got to say, people, Science Museum IMAX is brilliant. You guys should definitely go if you have the chance of something's being shown there.
Yeah, I didn't know that thing.
Like, I got a fact Reddit. I found it by accident. Certain films are shown at the IMAX in Science Museum, and it's really cool. It's really, really cool. A huge screen. Absolutely brilliant. Really good.
Cool.
So Big Man, do you want to... Big Man, what's your thoughts? What's your thoughts?
Okay, so a little backstory. When I first saw Dune 1, not the Lynch, McCracklin Sting version, the recent remake, I can put my hand on it and probably say my brain probably wasn't in the right place. I remember watching it and thinking, it's all right. Very overrated in my eye. The film didn't really heat up until the last 15 minutes. But then the last couple of months, I thought, you know what? I need to rewatch this. So what I did, literally the day... Actually, I did the same day. The day I booked to watch a film to IMAX. Film one currently is on Netflix, I believe. So I thought, you know what? One still. Rewatched it, and I thought, you know what? This is actually pretty good. I was more invested. Maybe it's one of those films where it's better to watch at home than compared to a big screen. Who knows? And I was feeling it. I thought the performances were really good. And I thought, you know, I'm a little bit hyped for film number two. I went to IMAX, Waterloo, massive screen. And so loud.
Yeah, and very,
massive screen, so loud. And how was it, 2.5 hours?
2:45.
Right. Now, I can honestly say, that went as quick as I thought Avengers Endgame, because the time didn't feel anything. And I must say, film two, I think, is better than the first one. Austin Butler, for me, was just Austin. I mean, fair play, he's not in it much, but when he is, superb. And I was reading this interview, so he gave, saying he based his character on a combination of the Joker and Alex DeLarge as inspiration. I was like, okay, you picked two of probably the most diabolical characters on screen in the last how many years. Two of my favourite characters, ironically enough. I can see where you're going with this. And the performance from the whole cast, I mean, Timothy Chalamet and Bing Bong, superb. Zendaya, brilliant. Rebecca Ferguson. Loved her since Mission Impossible, and she just continues to excel in everything that she does. There is not a bad performance. Batista, oh my lord.
Oh.
So, non-spoiler, there's a scene when he grabs some guy by the head and rams it. I was laughing non-stop. I thought, yeah, that's the Batista that I know. Roll on film three. I mean, the set pieces. Hans Zimmer with his soundtrack. You know what? Even just see the film for the Hans Zimmer score. There's something to be said that when that man does a score, no matter how great the film slaps, it's just that 10 times more better. Apart from X-Men, Dark Phoenix, obviously.
We don't talk about that.
Yeah, never. But that man is just continuously putting out 10s for soundtrack and scores. I loved it. I will watch it again before. Actually, that's a lie. I won't have an opportunity to watch it again for the time being. Will be watched again soon. Personally, roll on the third film. Sis, what's your view?
Okay. I'm going to go with the Hans Zimmer. Oof. Yeah. I heard someone, is it Nikki Marina on TikTok? She was like, Hans Zimmer's entering his peak period, and I have to agree. Absolutely beautiful. I honestly have never been terrified of the worm coming, but the soundtrack on it, even beyond the music, in the IMAX, it vibrates your whole soul, and I was terrified. And you know when you're familiar with the film, but you still end up cheering and going yes and doing stuff like that, but you're like, but I know what's going to happen because you get swept away. I'm not going to go into too many spoilers on it because I want to keep. And funny enough, I did the same thing Big Man did. I watched it on the day because I'd avoided it because it's a film that's quite close to my heart, even though the first one is rough, but you get what I was trying to do.
Yeah.
I basically saw the first scene I ever saw was the Goblin Jabbar scene where he puts his hand in the box and it's where you get the chant of fear. And I watched that scene and I was like, oh, this is going to be fine. And I just walked away because that's the scene that I needed to be perfect. And it was perfectly executed. First Dune, I call Attack of the Daddies, because who was on the casting? Who was like, we're going to need all the daddies to assemble. We're going to need Oscar Isaac. We're going to need Brolin, and we're gonna need Javier Bardem, and we're gonna need Daddies to assemble and look good. And I was like, and we're gonna, I was like, oh wait, but we need Momoa. Oh yeah, we need Momoa. What did I tell you? Momoa, yeah, Momoa in the first one. Pete, I can't even say what I want to say because Jason has told me it's not a good thing. Our legal counsel probably said it's not good for me to say what I want to say. But Momoa, how you gone have a beard, then not have a beard, and still be fine like that, and still fight to the death? I just was overwhelmed.
Oscar Isaac,
even though the way he's supposed to go out is a bit like, still goes out like a bad man. And then they give us a naked Isaac. And I was like, June, what are you doing? June catered for everybody. It catered for the older and the young. He gave you Zendaya and Shamalama Bing Bong for the kids and gave us older heads people. However, I'm going to say something controversial. Which is that I wasn't feeling Josh Brolin.
You know, I actually forgot about him.
Wasn't feeling Josh Brolin. And I'm going to fully admit this could be an issue with me. That the character that he plays is played by Patrick Stewart in the original. And it's so damn good. Even though he's not in there enough, it's so damn good that just rocked up on his day off and gave me mediocre. And I'm like, put some respect on Patrick Stewart's name, please, and do Gurney properly, please. His reactions felt disproportionate for what he's supposed to be. He was always like, he was constantly Roadman. He was constantly Air Force One energy. Now, I understand that you are, some will go, but he's, you know, he's a fighter. It's like, yeah, but a part of being a fighter and being at the way you're supposed to be is supposed to have intelligence. And I didn't see that. I didn't see that at all. And have a form of measure. However, this also could be because Momoa ate everything he was on. And he's not even in it for long, guys. He's just not. But he eats. And I've got to say, it was a hard thing to balance all these people given all of this talent and putting this across on the screen. And the rest of it, I back you. Rebecca Ferguson, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant as Jessica. Shamalama Bing Bong, he had it. He ate. Zendaya gave it. And for those who are upset about her lack of performance or didn't get enough time in the first one, second one, she eats. She is... Oh, that's when you're like, this is why they cast you.
The second one, to be fair, is more her film, I thought.
I'm gonna call this, and I might be wrong. If Zendaya continues the way she's going, she's gonna be the actor of her generation. I'm saying it, I'm calling it. Because if you see her in that and other things, let alone Far From Home and like from Spider-Man, let alone on Euphoria, I never saw a person do a FU with her eye like I saw in Dune 2. The way she actually did an N-word please with her eye. And I was like, raw, I felt that in my whole soul. I felt like she just gave it, and I was like, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. But Bernie Mac would come back and go, now that was a beautiful cast. Look at that. Just with her eye. If she continues, she's going to be the actress. If she continues on the way she is, she's going to be the actress of a generation. I swear she will. I really enjoyed it. The fight scenes are so damn good. And that goddamn person who played Elvis. Austin, what's his face?
Austin Butler.
Tell me how shocked I was. Tell me, I you know what? I had to side-eye a screen. I was like, what? So in the original, that was played by Sting. Him playing Fade, bruv? Yeah. I was shocked. I was shocked as to how good he was. He was damn good.
He's just hitting it out of the park. I mean, I know this hasn't been confirmed yet. You know, there's Michael Mann's doing the prequel to Heat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about it. Yeah, he's supposed to be playing a young Val Kilmer, isn't he?
Val Kilmer, yeah.
He you know what? He could do it. He could do it. Because what I saw was like, oh my gosh. And also, one thing, the set design. immaculate. That's some of the best design I have seen in a goddamn while, because the worlds look different, especially when they go to Getty Prime, which is where the Harkonnens are from. Oh my god. Oh my.
Yeah.
I could go on forever right now. I could just talk an hour on it, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to say, catch it when you can. It's really good. It's fantastic. I'm so glad I saw it the way I did. And Ralph, when you're ready. But yeah, Butler was a shock. I was flabbergasted. I was gasted. I was like, wow.
He's just hitting it right. I saw someone saying the way he looks, I mean, well, not in plain fade. Mm. If you blonde him up a little, he'd actually be a good Green Lantern. Arrow, sorry. In the DCU. Okay. I'm like, that's actually not a bad idea, to be fair.
That's not a bad shot, to be fair.
Yeah.
I want to see more of what he could do, because I was like, yeah, whatever. But seeing him do that, I was like, oh, and you can fight. Oh.
Yeah, he's next from these guys. It's the one with him and Tom Hardy. He's playing bikers.
So it's like, colour me interested. Of course I was interested, but mm-hmm. colour me doubly. And like I said, not even in that way. And once mm-hmm. again, a Skarsgård. Actually, I've got another thing that's I don't actually is a bit of a hot take.
Okay.
Christopher Walken.
Oh,
wasn't feeling him. Because it felt like someone just got Christopher Walken in it and I'm supposed to believe all the Emperor.
Yeah.
And I kept waiting for him to be, do you get what I mean? You know when someone's image, it throws you off? I kept waiting for him to do his, like, I don't know, something, like dance for me, or do his quote from True Romance. Like something, but I was like,
oh, and also,
that threw it off.
Florence mm-hmm. Pugh, you know I've got
Pugh was good.
Yeah.
Pugh was good, but once again, there's so many heavy hitters, I get, but she didn't, in the way her timing was perfect, and I think maybe that's a bit of knowledge that I've got, because I've read it. And stuff, so it's like, yeah, because basically the thing with Dune is what you're experiencing is a retelling from the perspective of Florence Pugh's character, who's the Emperor's daughter, and that's how Dune starts. So basically her saying, look, it's like, sit down, let me tell you a story about this guy called Paul, and that literally is how Dune is.
Yeah,
so everything you're kind of experiencing is her saying, okay, look, let me tell you all of it, the shady and everything else, let me tell you what happened. So everything you get is from her point of view. So introducing her in the second one made complete sense. And the way that you see how she is good. But she gets her time to shine. And yeah, roll on the third one, I say.
Bring it on.
Yeah. So with that, and thank you both. We go on to the fact that we heard that of the passing of Akira Toriyama. And we referenced it in the beginning. And he unfortunately has passed away. And I think it's only right and fitting that I pass on to my brothers at this point, because I have talked too much from now.
Yeah. To Mr. Instant Classic. Yeah.
Here we go, man.
Please take it away.
Akira Toriyama, Uncle Akira. Why do I call him Uncle?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Because he's one of the many people that helped to raise me.
Amen.
Like Stan Lee will be Uncle Stan.
Stan.
Excelsior.
Akira Toriyama is the Stan Lee of the manga anime world. Like, yeah. His work reaches levels to like to multiple communities, multiple societies. Like, we all know him for Dragon Ball, but obviously he has more, such as the Lots of Slum series with Arali, Dragon Quest, Blue Dragon, Chrono Trigger, one of the most influential JRPGs ever. Like most, if not all, but most anime creators to the modern day, like, dedicate their work to his work. Like, the creators of the Big Three, if I haven't explained what the Big Three are, the Big Three represents three anime at the peak on the 2000s that were making the most money, or always top three at the charts, which were One Piece, Bleach, and Naruto. And a creator of each of them all came out saying that if it wasn't for Akira Toriyama, they wouldn't be where they were. Toriyama sensei, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. And even like animators from DreamWorks, Warner Brothers, 20th Century Fox, they all come out saying that we wouldn't be where we were if it wasn't for Dragon Ball, if it wasn't for Akira Toriyama. Man has reached far and throughout this world, and it's just mind blown. Like the crazy story of, like, I think we've all heard the story about the Mexican cartel, about literally calling a ceasefire to, like, you know what? Time out. Truce guys. Like, we need to pay some respects to the uncle. Like, you wouldn't believe it's fake. You can't believe that that's true. But, like, there are pictures of it. There are pictures of them, like, dedicating to, like, to Akira. It's mind blowing.
I saw video of, like, a screening in Mexico, and I was like, what? And if you didn't tell me that was they're watching Dragon Ball, I would have thought, like, oh, is it a concert? Is it Foo Fighters? No, it was Dragon Ball. And I was like, what on? And the cheer. And I was like, oh my! And it's huge. Like
watching, like, videos and images of, like, fans putting their hands to the sky, giving their energy. It's just, that's just that hit different. That really hit different, because, like, watching Dragon Ball was bittersweet at times. Like, it was a slog. Like, because obviously, like, we live in the world of streaming services, so, you know, we can watch it all in one go. Like, let's
Dragon Ball, like, 519 chapters and into 42 volumes
and counting.
So
Dragon Ball's, like, it's become a thing on its own. Obviously, there's Dragon Ball, there's Dragon Ball Z, there's Dragon Ball GT, there's Dragon Ball Super, there's Dragon Ball Heroes, there's Dragon, like there's the Dragon Ball films, which are technically not canon, but something, and then the new ones that are canon. Like, there's so much out there now, and it's just brilliant, because I still to this day remember, I always have a fond memory of, like, my first episode of Dragon Ball, and it was like, I was in St. Kitts. This is when I was sent to St. Kitts by myself, and Grandad was doing what Grandad does, and I was, like, in a living room watching, trying to find something to watch. So in St. Kitts, they have access to American TV, so basically they have, like, so we're on screen channels, and then I come on to this, and I come into a, like a desert scene, and I see a gentleman in orange, who I find out it was Goku, and a guy in blue and white, and I find out it's Vegeta. And this is their first confrontation. Like, I didn't know what the story was. I've seen images of it over the years, but I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
And then I literally just got okay, he's a good guy, he's a bad guy. Okay, it's gonna be a fight. Let's see what they showed me. And then I just saw martial arts on in the animated style of Jackie Chan. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, so it's like, that is it. And then the fight just carried on, and just carried on, and it just kept going, and it kept getting better. And I was like, so this is normal. That's how it happens. This is normal. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I'm there. And then after that episode, I never saw it again. And that broke my heart until Cartoon Network and Toonami became a thing.
That's yeah.
And I'm going to say something, another controversial thing. I'm going to say something, and I refuse to bow down to this. I refuse to bow down to anyone who comes up to me saying that, no, you're wrong. Fuck you. I'm right. I'm going to say it.
Say it with all my chest. Got you. Say it. Preach.
The Go. Dragon Ball Z UK intro is better than any of the intros. I don't care. The original Japanese one is classic, and I always have enough respect. But the UK one hits all kinds of different levels. Dragon Ball Z, Dragon, like that. You were in it. You're ready to fight. If you're not ready to fight, but like, I don't care what you're watching. If the intro gets you ready to like get up and go do some push-ups, yeah, that's the intro. That's the intro that hit different, and it's like, and with all that said, like, the fact that we got more content, we got more Dragon Ball Super, and like introduced new characters, a new world, new power levels, like there's like never ending struggle. Who's stronger, Superman, Goku? Sadly, it's Superman. I'm gonna say that in my chest. So Superman's stronger than Goku. I'm sorry, I hate to admit, but it's true.
Did you just say Supes is stronger?
Yep.
Right, I'm glad you picked this up, because I've seen this debate has been rambling on there for a good last couple of years. And someone asked me, and I said, well, I would have gone Superman. But to hear you say it, and you're more clued up than I ever will be, just like, convinced me. Okay, yeah.
The fact of the matter is, if you want to make, let's say you make everyone, like, put all the media, so put all of Dragon Ball, put all of Superman's media, and you make it all canon. Superman is stupidly broken. He has done things that no being can compete with. Like, he doesn't make any sense, and that's the problem. So like with Goku, the whole idea of Goku is that he gets into a fight, he loses, gets stronger, and becomes better. The whole idea with Goku, or Saiyans in general, is a Zenkai boost. The closer to death they get, the stronger they are next time. So there's always a ceiling that Goku has to push to get through, to get stronger. Superman does not have a ceiling. Superman's like, okay, I'm going to stop holding back now. Boom. That's all Superman's got to do, like, now.
Even if on a tangent, you think about like your first intro to Superman in the Richard Donner movie, his pinnacle, the thing he does is he literally goes so fast that the world goes backwards to stop someone dying.
Yeah, I mean,
that's your intro. That's your beginning. That I'm so thin, I'm going to literally turn. It's not how time works, but that's not the point.
Scientifically and astrologically, it doesn't make any sense. But that's your intro move.
We hadn't got to you at peak.
Yeah,
have we ever got to peak?
Like, for example, here's another example. Goku can be shot and killed by a laser beam. Superman cannot. So if Goku wasn't aware, like, Goku has great awareness, but if there's a moment he lets his guard down just to be cocky, which he does from a regular basis, and he gets shot, which he has been, with a laser, it hurts him, and it almost killed him. And Superman doesn't have that unless you have kryptonite. But if you're going to go in a one-on-one fight between Superman and Goku, and Superman has, Goku has the option to use kryptonite. He wouldn't do that. That's not Goku. He wants a fair. It was a fair fight. So, but anyway, that tangent aside, like Dragon Ball basically is kind of like my standard for, like, in a sense, my standard for the anime I watch these days. Yeah. Like the West, like there needs to be some kind of progression. So like getting better or getting stronger. That's kind of like why I'm always with Dragon Ball, because like there's always that level to get stronger. There's all like you never miss a training day. Like you, like it's all about getting stronger and just become and you know, protecting what matters most. That's been kind of the core pinnacle of Dragon Ball. It's always been about getting stronger and protecting what matters most, which is usually family and friends.
Yeah.
And so like animes that I watch like these days, like the modern anime, which I will recommend to any people, because there's some great anime at the moment, and like some are really slept on at this moment in time, but there are some that you know about and that just are awesome. So like Solo Leveling is probably one of the newest kids on the block. Again, it's the sole purpose, Solo Leveling is in the title, is about a guy getting stronger. So I highly recommend it. Korean anime origin and a great anime, visually amazing. Story wise it's fun, and again, it's all about getting stronger. Shangri-La Frontier, it's an anime that's very slept on at this moment in time. It's all about getting stronger as well, but then getting good. But at the same time, it's a gamer's anime. So if you're a gamer, you will love this anime. I highly recommend it. Mashle, Magic and Muscle, or Muscle and Magic. Somebody get mixed up. Basically, One Punch Man meets Harry Potter. It's okay. It's hilarious. Got one, like season 2 has just started, and it's got one of the best opening intro songs out right now. If you've been on TikTok, you've heard it. Bling, yeah. Bang, boom, boom. You'll love it. And again, and all these animes have got Dragon Ball inspired elements, and they have been, and it's all thanks to Akira Toriyama. I hate saying this, but there's all, like, this is why I hate, this is one of the reasons why I hate the internet. Like, everyone's got an opinion, and everyone's entitled to share their opinion. Mm-hmm. And like, when someone like Akira passes away, it's like there's always gonna be that one person or that one Negro who comes out saying that he didn't really revolutionize anime. I'm sure anime would have been fine without him. Like,
no.
People just be trolls.
Yeah, exactly. There's always gonna be one that's gonna have an opinion and or just wants the attention and like wants to get people angry in the comment, because there's always gonna be someone that will reply to that comment and start a debate and start an argument, and he's like, "Yep, I got you now, bitch."
Yeah,
like, fuck you. That's all I'm gonna say. That's all I'm gonna say to you. That's all I'm gonna say.
Like, some facts on it's like you can debate it with those ones. Like, there's a lot of times I see stuff, and I'm just like, I haven't got the time to argue this with you, and I'm not going to argue, because you need that attention. It's like I saw someone say on the internet, like, when people do that, just teach children, like their children, like, oh, you discovered a big thing. Oh, you use your words anyway, and just move on, because it's like, I'm not going to debate what is fact. I'm just not going to debate with you, because I'm literally sitting here and we're doing research and stuff, and it's like, there's so much. It's so apparent how influential Toriyama-san was. Like, I saw, like, on Black People Twitter, where this guy just went, one of the things I loved was his cars. And I was like, I loved, yes! And it just was
the bumper
whole...
cars, they were great.
It's just this whole, like, stream of everyone sharing their favourite animated Toriyama vehicles. And I was down the rabbit hole. I was gone for a good hour, just like, oh, and then like looking into it, and like this one, and it's like, yeah. And then when you find that, it's like, well, yeah, because he has a love of cars, because he got it from his dad, who used to race motorbikes and did like had an auto repair business. So it's like, but he didn't understand the mechanics. He's like, yeah, but it looks like you did, because some of these are awesome. And in fact, he got to kind of do an electric car himself. You're like, this is like your experience. What he did is like it cannot. You can't just go, oh, it wasn't that great. It's like, maybe you feel that, but the evidence says otherwise. The fact that a movie can be so bad, and he predicted it. He literally said it's going to be bad, and of course he was roundly like dismissed, because of course they did, and he basically said it's not going to have the soul of the movies as of the manga, as I said. And then was like, I guess I'm coming back. Man literally was like, man, that literally, like, I think the quote is, and just as I thought, the result was a movie I cannot call Dragon Ball. Then man just like, basically at the end of Avengers go, I guess I have to do this myself, and Thanos this and came back. And I was like, okay, Toriyama-san, I see you.
Okay. What can I say? One of the things I want to debunk when it comes to Dragon Ball as well, I want to debunk one of the biggest elephants in the room. Mr. Popo.
Oh.
Now.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. It is believed that he is an allegory for what's known as the minstrel. Like black characters done in anime to be kind of racial stereotypes, such and so on and so forth, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. In the early 80s, especially with the early days of Dragon Ball, black characters in the anime did have that kind of rudimental, that generic fat lip kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that is kind of, I don't want to make excuses for it, but at the same time, it was kind of the animation go-to when it comes to worldwide, when it comes to doing black characters, sadly. Because that was just, I hate to say it, but it was of its time. I'm not gonna lie. Don't get me wrong, we've come a long way with black characters in animations now, especially in anime. It's great to see. But with Mr. Popo, it wasn't about that at all. Mr. Popo is based on actual deities from Hinduism and partly Buddhism. If you want to look up Mahakala, if I'm not mistaken, Mahakala, that is the deity or god in Hinduism, the god of time and death, if I'm not mistaken, which makes perfect sense when it comes to Mr. Popo, because Mr. Popo, who is the equivalent to a genie, is the keeper of the hyperbolic time chamber, which is like one day in a hyperbolic time chamber is like a year, and that's where in the Cell saga, Goku and Gohan, Vegeta and Trunks going to train for the fight with Cell. Goku went in the early days of Dragon Ball, couldn't take it, had to get out early. Like so Popo was never meant to be a minstrel, represent minstrelism. It was representation of culture. In a strange way. Granted, it looks really bad, but at the same time, it was done with paying respects. So
yeah,
and if I'm gonna be 100% honest, I was never really offended by Popo personally, because because when I grew up, I'd never minstrels weren't a thing that much for me, especially as I got older. I knew about it as I got older and discovered what it was, like, oh, that's really bad, but. I didn't have that constant interaction with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's why Popo never really offended me or upset me. But I think
it does generationally, because I think, for example, I would have more of a memory as a British black girl of the Golly Walk on the Jam Jar. But then, like, I think when I saw it, because obviously I did, full disclosure, I'm not a big Dragon Ball watcher. I kind of, what I like to watch is the fact that something made my brother be quiet for a bit and watch it. So I'd kind of watch, like, that way. So for me, I was a bit like, oh, okay. But then I think because I knew kind of, like, a bit more, you know, anime and stuff in general and manga and how black people were portrayed, it was almost like another thing. So to find out later on that it wasn't, it's like, oh, okay. And to find out where it's linked to, it's even more like, oh, okay, it's even more significant. You can't not admit that there was a problem. There was and still is a bit of a problem, but it's got better. And if you'd like an example of how it's got better, play the game. What is my favorite game called? Oh my God, what's my brain called? Dave the Diver. Dave the Diver. Play Dave the Diver and you will see what we talk about. We talk about how things are getting better. There is a character in there that brother and I both love. I basically was waiting for Rod to play his game so he could see to meet this character, and you will understand how things have got better and improved.
Yeah. Okay, another thing I want to say, another thank you towards Akira for one thing that helps me a lot. And when it comes to Dragon Ball, one of my biggest pleasures was introducing it to my cousins.
Okay. Yeah.
Like if if we weren't close when we were kids, we were even closer because of Dragon Ball. Because when I started showing Joe and Marvin these characters and what they could do and what they were all about, they fell in love the way I fell in love, and it was just a pleasure to see it happening from the outside for a change.
So, and it's a pleasure to watch, to be honest with you. Yeah. I think the thing I love is the way it's... I couldn't remember a thing that was so directed at children but felt adult.
Mm.
Because it had the whole, like, the last time in Dragon Ball, and the whole, like, I was like, what? And then, like, I remember you like, getting ready, because like, you knew what happened, so you guys were getting ready, and then it's like, and now? And it's like, I just love that kind of intro, and this very, like, also, I remember my mind being blown when I realised that the characters were named after vegetables. I was like, sorry, what?
Yeah, Vegeta, Kakarot, Carrot. Like, even they're still trying and carrying that kind of trend of day. Like with new characters, like Beerus is named after beer, whiskey. Like it's just a thing that's going to keep on going until the end of time. I feel like I hope it does anyway. But yeah, that like I feel like, and it's funny because like. I don't talk to my cousins as much as I would like to, but like it's just like because everyone's busy, everyone's got families, everyone's working. But I love that Joe still finds time to send me random Dragon Ball videos. Like he'll say, "Hey, cuz, look at this," and then like it'll be like someone's like fully kitted out Goku house. It's just like, oh, okay, all right,
yeah,
I did a good job. He still remembers.
That's just bro, though. I mean, I can remember when we played each other on Dragon Ball on PlayStation. And you pre-warned me about the forthcoming combo, and I'm thinking, yeah, you talk about hitting me with a, and then you hit me with a 24th hit combo, and I remember I just put my pad down and just watched the epic scene happen in front of my eyes.
I do remember hearing that. I'm sorry for what's about to happen. Wait, what? Oh, no.
I regret nothing.
No,
it's still happening.
Literally, it was a case of put the pad down, have your drink and just witness the greatness that unfortunately is going to happen to you. It did. So I'm like, you know what? Thank you for the training day. And conveniently deleted out my PlayStation library after that.
Not even uninstall, just like the whole library's gone.
Yeah,
that game never happened. we're doing that. But you know what? I think we're now at the age where a lot of people who are influential to us are unfortunately, you know, their times are coming to an end.
Yeah,
and you know it's a sad part, but it's also a good reflective part to kind of take in the fact that you had the time that you got to bear witness sometimes from the very beginning, not even knowing how this was gonna go, how much impact it was gonna have, how insightful and amazing it was gonna be, and what journeys it was gonna take you on. And that's kind of like part of the why we do this, is because for those who download, those who listen, those who take part, those who shout at us, those who email, those who don't, it's like we're all on journeys, and sometimes some things are going to hit very different, and we're not even going to know at the time how influential they're going to be. But with every creator who gives their time, their energy, their effort to create, you know, manga, anime, games, music, or film, all of it, I'm always grateful because they at least put it out there and was like, I'm going to show you a different world and I hope you appreciate it. And
exactly.
Toriyama-san, for everybody,
thank you.
Thank you so much. Right. On that note, okay, I think that's it.
Yeah, before we end as well, anime recommendations again, like I said,
yes.
That's all I'm going to say. So like I said, like I mentioned, Solo Leveling, definitely, Shangri-La Frontier, Mashle, Magic and Might, Magic and Muscle even. One I introduced to my sister recently called...
Yeah, tell my favourite! Yeah.
Campfire Cooking in Another World with My Absurd Ability. It's
so
like, if you want just a chill anime which is hilarious and gives you some amazing recipes, that I highly recommend.
Watch it! Okay, Food Wars I love. Hero Academia... I like, but I don't love as much as my brother. But what's the other one? Demon thingy.
Demon Slayer.
Yeah, Demon Slayer is an emotional journey.
It's heavy,
and sometimes I just need a break because he's too pure and I can't take it and it gets upsetting. But this one, watch it. It's so You saw me the title and I was like, I'm sorry, what? Yeah.
Campfire cooking.
Campfire cooking is amazing. Please.
Yeah, because I was like, it's one of those animes you're disappointed when it ends, but I recently found that there's going to be a season two, so hopefully we'll be getting a season two this year.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting on Tentahooks.
Yeah. And the last one I'm going to recommend, I recently discovered, it's called Mr. Villain's Day Off. Now, this is an anime. Like, yeah.
Is that the same from the same people who did the House Husband one?
Yeah, it actually is. This is an anime basically which promotes a healthy work-life balance. So you're literally following a villain who has dreams of world domination, erasing humans, but he respects his time and always appreciates not being bothered on his day off. And like, it is hilarious just due to the fact that the his enemies or the good guys are basically Power Rangers, and he actually runs into one of them during his day off, and he goes, "I know who you are. If we're gonna fight, we're gonna fight now." He's like, "Oh, nope, truce. Nope. It's my day off. I'm not doing this. I it's my day off, man. It's a truce for day." He's like, "You being serious?" Like, "Yeah, it's my day off.
I've got pottery at free." Yeah.
And he's like, "What are you doing here? I can see you got a ticket for the aquarium, but you're at the zoo. What the hell?" And he's like, "I got lost." Like, all right. And so basically, he spent the rest of his time basically guiding the Red Power Ranger on how to get to the aquarium. And I was just like, "Yep, I'm all about this anime. A healthy work-life balance, Mr. Villain's Day Off. It's hilarious. I highly recommend it."
Take your days off, people, and preserve them. Even in the face of enemies you want to strike down, you could do it another day.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
On that note, thank you for your ears, your time, and your energy. If you would like to reach out to us about anything, you can email us at stjudeavengers@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at messed up pod. For a second, I went blank there for a minute, but I pulled it back.
You're the big man.
Yeah, usually that's me.
I'm almost the big man, but yeah. I remembered at the end. Big man, speaking of which, go on, big man. What's your socials, big man?
Oh, my socials, you can find me on the gram at Mr_Roberts_V1. Mm-hmm. And you can find me on X or Twix, as we call it, Twix. At 43782. And Mr. Classic, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me on YouTube on the Interclassic _KB. You can also find me on Twitch, Instagram, and TikTok under InstantClassic_Gaming.
Fantastic. And thank you again. And yeah. What can I say other than be well and bruv?
Kamehameha. Rest in power, girl. And that's why we're messed up. Produced by the St. Jude's Avengers, edited by yours truly, Instant Classic Gaming, and music produced by Fox Tree Music.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.